knows me now, and he died for me. He loved me then, and he loves me now. Oh, how can it be? He saw my face. He knew the place I would be today. He knew me then. He knows me now. Some people say that he died one day, but that was long ago. Well, I'm sure that he was a very good man, but me he did not. Listen, my friend, what I say is true, that he knew me, and he sure knew you. He knew you then, he knows you now, and he loves you. He knows you now, and he died for you. He loved you then, and he loves you now. Oh, I know it's true. He saw you. He knows us now, and he loves us still somehow.
Dear friends, I'm introducing Dr. Walter Martin. He was one of the best teachers exposing cults. He founded the Christian Research Institute and created the well-known radio program about various denominations. Hank Hanegraaff took over the ministry, calling it the Bible Answer Man. Today's program will be by the late Dr. Martin, called The Baptism of Boldness. There will be 4 15-minute talks each during the month of March.
For the time will come when they will not put up with sound teaching, but they shall gather to themselves teachers who will tickle their ears, and the truth of God will be turned into mythology. They shall turn away their ears from the truth. But you watch in everything. Endure afflictions. You know what that means? That means take it on the chin for as long as it's necessary in order to accomplish the job. I became friends a few years ago with Rocky Marciano, the undefeated heavyweight champion of the world. I boxed when I was in school. I came from a rather rough neighborhood in Brooklyn. In my neighborhood, there were two kinds of people, the quick and the dead. If you weren't quick, you were dead. No doubt about that, I'm a survivor. Praise God. So we had a lot in common to talk about. He came from the same kind of neighborhood in Brockton. I met him in an airport. We struck up a conversation. We became friends. I witnessed to him. We talked a lot. One night at 3 o'clock in the morning, eating a spaghetti dinner in Miami, Fort Lauderdale, outside Miami. I was his house guest for the weekend. We were chatting about some of the problems of boxing. And I said, you know, one of the things that always bothered me about you, Rock, could never figure it out. I watched all the fights, watched everybody, all the great fights of the centuries that I could see. I said, I never could understand. How is it that you let yourself get hit so many times? You got hit more times than any heavyweight champion in history. It looked like you were begging for it. And he smiled. He said, good question. Nobody ever asked me that question before. He said, I want to give you the answer. Stand up. I said, what? He said, stand up and square off with me. I said, crazy I might be, stupid I'm not. No thanks. He said, oh, no, no. He said, we're going to do anything. Just square off. I said, all right. So we squared off. And he said, now put out a left jab. I said, you're kidding. He said, no, don't hit me. Just put it out. I said, all right. I put my arm out, touched his chin. He says, now watch. He was in his cover-up style of boxing, famous for it, peekaboo style. And he shot his left out at me as hard as he could. If he had hit me with that, I'd have gone through the wall. But because my reach was 5 inches longer than his powerful punch just arced underneath my arm. Couldn't even touch me. He said, if I was fighting a guy like you, well, he said, and you could hit anywhere near as hard as I could, you would annihilate me. I would never get in close enough to hit you. He said, I learned that. And he said, I developed a style. Cover up. Peekaboo. He said, I took the blows on my arms and my shoulders and sometimes on my face. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 to 1. Because I knew if I could get in close enough, I could take you out with one shot. And he could. The only heavyweight champion in history take you out with either hand once. All he needed was the one shot. I said, praise the Lord. He says, what are you praising the Lord for? 3 o'clock in the morning in a pizza restaurant. I said, you gave me a fabulous sermon illustration. He said, I did? I said, I'm going to make that illustration famous. He said, what is it? I said, you accepted the occupational hazard of getting hit in order that you might be a champion. You and I have to accept the occupational habit, the occupational difficulty, all of the occupational problems that come with the Christian witness. And it is for us an occupational hazard. Get in close with the Word of God, whatever it takes. No matter how much punishment you have to endure or whatever they've got to say about you, get in there close till you get the one clean shot that'll take anybody out, because it's God's shot and God's gospel. I was right here. I was right here at the University of Utah a couple of years ago lecturing. 70% Mormon, and I didn't know what to expect outside of green wood piled up outside. It was an impromptu meeting. I lectured in a sociology course. It helps to be a full professor, because then they can't keep you out of the university level. So they let me lecture in a sociology of religion course, and then they gave me an open question and answer impromptu meeting. 1,000 students turned out for it. And they went after me, the Mormons, with everything they could throw. And I was answering the questions and fielding the questions. One Mormon kid got so mad at me, he literally could not contain himself another moment, and he jumped up. He said, you bastard. You could hear a pin drop in that auditorium. See? And I looked at him and I said, why are you mad at me? Did I pull your security blanket, Linus? He says, I'm not mad at you. I said, you don't call a man a bastard unless you're mad at him, and you're mad at me. And I said, but I'm not mad at you. I love you for Jesus Christ's sake. Have I then become your enemy because I have told you the truth? And the audience broke out in spontaneous applause. Spontaneous applause. I had won the audience because I didn't care what kind of punch I had to take to get it. Cursing, anger, frustration, hatred, bitterness, persecution are all part of the game. And after you've been through it all, count yourself an unprofitable servant because you have done only those things that were required of you. And just damn the occupational hazard, full speed ahead, and give them the message. It's still the Word of God. It can still turn the world upside down. Paul believed this implicitly. He said, watch in everything, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of your ministry. I fought a good fight. I finished my race. I kept the faith. And henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not me only, but to all those that love his appearing. Paul was absorbed with the idea of being a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb. He was so absorbed that as he got to Philippians, when he was getting ready to die, he said, even as it is proper for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers of my grace. What is missing today is the defense and the confirmation of the gospel. It is sanctifying the Lord God in your hearts and being ready, ready, ready always to give to everyone that asks of you an answer, to every man an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within you with humility and with reverence. If we can do it, we'll get the same effects the apostles got. We'll get the same effects the church fathers got. The great apologist of the first 5 centuries. But we've got to do it. We can't pass the buck anywhere else. In the words of that immortal Baptist theologian, Harry Truman, the buck stops here. Verse 14 of Philippians 1. Many of the brothers in the Lord grew confident because of my chains, and are much more bold to speak the word without fear. I did something a couple of years ago that hadn't been done before. I came to Salt Lake City, and I invited the professors at Brigham Young University and the leaders of the Mormon Church to attend some meetings downtown at the First Baptist Church, where I would answer any and all questions on Mormonism that they wanted to ask. And I was coming not as a Baptist minister, but as a full professor of comparative religions with all the necessary credentials, and therefore I wanted to give them the first chance. You couldn't get near that church for 4 blocks. It was jammed. There were tape recorders hanging from the ceilings and out of the floors. Mormon missionaries were there. 2 apostles were there. It was a madhouse of people there. I was going to answer questions. I lectured, and then I answered questions. No apostle stood up. No bishop stood up. The missionaries stood up. They led the lambs to the slaughter, and they sat there on their hands while the kids got massacred. In love. 2 Mormon missionaries came up to me afterwards with a guy they were trying to convert, and they shook hands with me. And they said, we enjoyed your presentation. It was honest, and it was straight out. You know, if the church is ever to be destroyed, it will be destroyed by what you are doing. what you are doing, what you are doing, what we are doing. You took our own material. How can we say anything against our own material? When God destroyed Goliath of Gath, he didn't do it with the stones. He cut off his head with his own sword. The twitching corpse of Mormon theology will lie there one day because its head was cut off from its own archives and from the people who spent their time investing their time and their energies and their work to make it happen. Because it will happen in God's own dear providence. The next week, those two missionaries came forward in that First Baptist church and were born again. There is no stopping the power of God. And something happened after that, I was told, by Christians all over Salt Lake City. After a week of meetings, eyeballing them and challenging them to come out wherever you are. And they didn't. A lot of Christians in the community fulfilled Philippians chapter 1, waxing confident. They went out and started witnessing as they had never done before. And it shook loose our Mormon friends. Let me tell you that. They knew about it. Now, one plants, others water. But God gives the increase. And he that plants and he that waters is nothing. But God who gives the increase is everything. I can do what some of you can't do. I'm here for that purpose. You can do things I can't do. You're here for that purpose. We are the fingers, the hands, the eyes, the nose, the mouth of Christ. The body. We can't afford the luxury of despising the toe, the finger, the nose, or the ear because it's not getting the attention that the other parts of the body are. We should be standing behind each other wherever and whenever the chips are down and not caring what anybody has to say. It's my brother, it's my sister, we're with them. That's what the scripture tells us to do. Put on the whole armor of God and stand against the methods of the devil. Resist him, the scripture says, and he will flee from you. But you've got to resist. You've got to stand up. You've got to be counted. Now, Paul, again, tells us, verse 20 of Philippians 1, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed. But, now notice this, with all boldness, I like this, as always, you like that? He said, all boldness as a perpetual way of life.
Friends, if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and wish to be in the rapture, say this prayer with me right now, okay? It will be available on Cephas-radio.com in case you can't follow it. Cephas, Cephas-radio.com. Our Father, who art in heaven, thank you for giving up your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, who was the only one who was without sin and able and willing to take the penalty for all our sins by shedding his blood, so we can be assured that he paid the penalty in full. He said the following before he died on the cross, "It is finished." God, Father, I humbly come before you and ask for forgiveness for my sins. I repent of them. I wish to become your child, born again of the Holy Spirit, who will be my teacher, my comforter, and my connection to you, Father God. I believe that Jesus is the Christ and the Son of God. I wish to make him my Lord and Savior forever. Amen. This commitment will change me, and goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalm 23:6. Remember, God is in control and allowing his word to be fulfilled when the time is right. Our assignment is to keep you informed as to not be deceived. Satan comes in a perfect coat. He knows us better than we know ourselves. Mark chapter 13, verse 22. For false Christs and false prophets shall rise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. The elect have the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth. Jesus taught in John 10:27, My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Time is up. Celebrate our 25th anniversary with us at CephasThriftShop.com. Cephas-Thrift-Shop.com. We are selling our inventory at a 90% discount. Books, DVDs, CDs, and etc. The DVDs and CDs are originals and new, and the books are described. Join our monthly newsletter free at go-cephas.com. My email address is r421@earthlink.net. Thanks for listening, and tell your friends about us. God bless you, and hope to share with you next week. Shalom, Rita Williams.